This morning, we want to talk for a few moments about the power of honor. Romans 12:10 says, honor one another above yourselves. That same verse in the ESV says, outdo one another in showing honor. There is really a great untapped power in honor. When you find any biblical principle, any biblical truth, and you really grab hold of it, you make it your own, it has the ability to transform your life. And on the flip side, if you choose not to honor, it will greatly limit your life. That word translated honor in the Greek is to highly value, to esteem, to treat as precious, as weighty, as valuable. And so simply put, honor will always build up while dishonor will tear down. When we honor, we believe the best. When we dishonor, we believe the worst. Honor values. Dishonor disvalues. You know, when you read through the scriptures, you see so many outcomes of people's lives are directly related to their ability, whether they choose to honor or not. Those who chose the honorable path, their lives flourished. Those who failed to show honor, their lives are marked by tragedy, hardship, and even war. Honor opens up your life to the power of God. Dishonor limits your life to what God wants to desire to do in you. I want us to see how this plays out. In Matthew 13, we read how Jesus, he's returning to his hometown of Nazareth, and he's returning from a teaching tour. He's done many miracles all about. He has turned water into wine. He has raised the dead. He's opened blind eyes, healed ears. He's multiplied loaves and fish to feed thousands of people. He even healed Peter's mother-in-law, which many scholars believe is why Peter later denies Christ. So let's read this, Matthew 13:54. Coming to his hometown, he began teaching the people in their synagogue, and they were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom and these miraculous powers? In other words, wow. This is amazing. His teaching is incomparable. We're seeing the signs. And it seems like everything is being set up for God to do this amazing work in their midst. And then someone else says something a little contrary. Verse 55, isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother named Mary? And aren't his brothers James, Joseph, Simon, and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where did this man get all these things? And they took offense at him. You know, isn't this just an ordinary guy? You know, isn't this the guy that built our stools in the kitchen? Isn't this the guy that's always breaking the curve on the test because he gets 100% every time? Isn't this just an ordinary guy? Verse 57, but Jesus said to them, a prophet is not without honor except in his own town and in his own home. That phrase, without honor, means to dishonor, to treat as common, as ordinary. Jesus says, I am without honor in my own hometown. And let's see what happens as a result. Verse 58, and he did not do many miracles there because of their lack of faith. Here we see that honor and faith, they go hand in hand. A lack of honor, a lack of faith, those also go hand in hand. And when Jesus encounters a lack of honor and a lack of faith, it absolutely limits what he was going to do. It shuts him down in Nazareth. And this is a very big principle that we need to understand in our lives, that dishonor will shut down what God wants to do through people on your behalf. It closes you off to whatever they could speak to you, to invest in you. The miraculous power of God in Jesus completely shut down as they begin to say, isn't this just a carpenter's son? They were dishonoring God in the flesh. He was there. He was ready to perform miracles for them, but they did not show him honor, and as a result, it limited his power in their life. You can be in a worship service that is anointed and the Holy Spirit is at work and people are receiving miracles and they're getting breakthroughs and you're not because they have a heart of honor and you do not. Maybe thinking about why I don't like this person or I don't agree with that which was said. You could be in the middle of a move of God and not receive anything because you do not have a spirit of honor. And so we need to develop a heart of honor if we're going to receive anything from God. Honor opens us up to benefit with what God has put in other people for our benefit. Dishonor totally closes those people off for us. Honor is a powerful principle, and we are called to be people of honor. Now, when you think about honor, you might have the question, who are we exactly to honor? And the Bible makes this quite simple for us. 1 Peter 2:17 says, honor everyone. Honor everyone. We're called not just to honor our parents, to honor those who are in authority, to those who could help us move ahead in life. We are called to honor everyone. Why? Because God has created all of us. He's created everything. In Genesis 1:31, he looked around and he said, it is all very good. And so when we honor those around us, we acknowledge, yes, God, everything you have made is good. Every person has a soul, and that soul is a priceless gift from God. When you show honor to anyone, it could be your mother, it could be the delivery person, the person handing you your bag through the drive-thru. You are actively recognizing and respecting God's creation. Your actions are saying to him, God, you are amazing. I love you. I love everything that you have made. Thank you for putting this person in my life. By honoring the person, you're showing the value that God has placed on that person. That's what honor does. It shows a person's value. In the context of the Old and New Testament, honor was an evaluation of a person's actions, which determined that person's value to the community. It was decided by the community and then placed on that person. And if you had no honor, then you were just discarded. You were ignored. In much of history, your value, your honor was determined based on your pedigree. What type of family were you from? Is it a family of money and of means? Is it a family of authority? If so, you were deemed worthy of honor. And now today we've kind of shifted more towards honor is given towards accomplishment and our actions. If someone does something heroic or selfless, we deem that person worthy of honor. But honor is not determined by what we can see with our physical eyes. God sees the value in every person he made, and he wants us to do the same. And so we must ask the Holy Spirit, give me your eyes to show me the worth of those around me, to give us the humility to honor and serve as Jesus did. The problem that we often face is we confuse the terms respect and honor. And we should respect those around us, but you can respect someone and not love them. But honor is on a higher level. You cannot truly honor a person unless there is the heart of God's love behind that. A kind word, a sincere smile, taking a genuine interest in how someone is doing, these are all ways of expressing honor. And believe it or not, all of these can transform someone's life. Knowing that someone cares, knowing that someone believes in them, can actually cause a person to flourish, to leave behind the oppressive or unfulfilling life and discover God's purpose for them. But it is not the smile, it is not the kind words that changes lives. It is God's love behind those actions. Romans 12:10, again, the Apostle Paul says, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. And I want you to notice that it is not a suggestion, it is a command. And anytime God gives us a command, God gives us the ability to fulfill it. God has given you the capacity to live a life of honor. We're called to honor others, we're called to honor everyone, but the Bible does lay out specific people who are worthy of honor. And I just want to talk about two of these groups of people The first group is we are to show honor to people in authority. Romans 13:5 says, therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also as a matter of conscience. This is also why you pay taxes, for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give to everyone what you owe them. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. Our commitment to honor cannot be based on whether we agree with a leader or not. It can't be based on whether we voted for them or not. We must maintain a sense of honor for all those God has placed in authority over us. And granted, there are good leaders and there are bad leaders. There are good presidents, there are bad presidents. But it is God's responsibility alone to remove the mantle of leadership away from those he's placed in authority. You know, Scripture gives us many examples of when we take this into our own hands, when we dishonor authority, what the outcome is. You know, I think of the example of Korah in Numbers 16. He was a priest. By all accounts, he was a loyal priest in Israel. He was among those that God led out of Egypt and led towards the Promised Land. But somewhere along the way in the wilderness, he began to get jealous. Why are Moses and Aaron, why are they more important? Why are they more anointed? Why are they setting themselves apart? Aren't we all equals? Hasn't God spoken to all of us? Doesn't God use us all in exactly the same way? And God heard it. And God gave him an opportunity to stand down, but he didn't take it. And so Moses says, if you go on and live a long life, then you're right. Everything you've said is right. But if the ground opens up and swallows you, then you will know that you were wrong. Well, what happens? Numbers 16:31. As soon as Moses finished saying all this, the ground under them split apart. The earth opened its mouth and swallowed them and their households and all those associated with Korah together with their possessions. They went down alive into the realm of the dead. With everything they owned, the earth closed over them, and they perished, and they were gone from the community. I think that day everyone learned a lesson about the power of honor and dishonor. And to put it clearly, dishonor has never led to a good outcome in anyone's life. Consider Absalom. And Absalom, he's the son of King David, and he is driven by ambition. And everything he does, every interaction with people, is to make his dad look bad, to make himself look good. 2 Samuel 15:6 says, he stole the hearts of the people of Israel. And so he has his older brother murdered, and he proclaims himself king. He has his dad running for his life. But ultimately, his life ends. He is killed, and he's given a dishonorable burial. They just cover him over with stones. We see dishonor in King Saul's life. He was the king, but Samuel, he was the prophet. It was his responsibility to make sacrifices when they went to war. But Samuel shows up late, and so King Saul, he offers the sacrifices. He doesn't recognize God's unique blessing on Samuel's life, and it's the downfall of his leadership, presumption, impatience. We think of the disciple Judas, and his dishonor is easy to see. Even though Jesus knew that this man would eventually betray him, he took Judas in as one of his disciples. He loved him, he taught him, and even allowed him to be in charge of the finances. Jesus, he honored Judas up until the end, but Judas, he loved money more than he loved Jesus. And so he dishonors Jesus by betraying him with a kiss. And so the pattern is clear that dishonor will always create a barrier in our lives. And whether it's jealousy or ambition or impatience or presumption, selfish desires lead to dishonor, and the outcome is the same for us. Dishonor removes us from being in a place to receive God's blessing. It puts us in a place of turmoil. It cuts us off from the redemptive power of Jesus Christ. Our lives become cursed instead of blessed. Romans 12 says we're to show honor to everyone, but then Romans 13 says we're supposed to show honor to those in authority. And so to really understand true biblical honor is this, that honor does not disrespect. Even when you disagree with a person, you should respect him or her. Honor is not earned. Honor is something that we are called to freely give. You should show respect. No one has to earn it. Honor does not damage another person's reputation. Honor is not jealous. It does not presume a higher standing or more power or more position than another person. Honor is not petty. It does not look for fault. It does not seek to cause discomfort to others. Honor is not prideful. Humility should always be at the core of honor. And then honor is not shame. Only dishonor brings shame. And whether or not other people act with honor does not release us from our high calling to show honor. You know, I understand that through the last 2 years, we've all been through a lot. Really, the whole world has been through a trauma. And thank God that that's mostly behind us now. And yet there's always, we're finding these cascading effects of what we've all been through. And I believe one of the greatest effects that we're going through is a breakdown of honor. During the summer of 2020, my kids, you know, are in a public school. And so from March on, we became teachers. We became homeschoolers. And so this was a lot of work. And so all the way from March until August, they're with us every day. And so finally, they're going back to school. How many of you parents, you can relate. This was a joyous time. They're going to leave the house. And so that was all the plan, that you could choose virtual or in person. We chose in person. And a week before school starts, we get an email that, you know what? That is not going to happen. Your child is going to stay at home. And man, we were crushed. We were devastated. And it's not funny. It's still a trauma we're working through. And so it felt like no one was putting the needs of my kids first. And so I emailed a key leader in the district, and I told him, my confidence is shattered. My trust is shattered by the decisions being made. And so my email was civil. My email was proper, but it was also blunt, and it was to the point. Within 2 minutes of me sending that email, I get a phone call, and it's this leader giving me a call. The leader shared with me why he made the decision that he did. I shared why I didn't see it the same way that he does. And as the conversation went on, I began to feel just a little conviction in my heart that I had not shown the proper honor to this person. And so near the end of our talk, I said, I want to thank you for taking this time. Thank you for calling. I know you care about our kids. I'm glad you're in that position. And boy, I would be a terrible pastor if I didn't ask, could I just pray for you? Could I just pray for our district? And he said, yes, I would love to pray. And at the end of that prayer, he said, you know what, John, you're making me cry. And said, no, that's not me. That is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit's doing a work as we transition from dishonor to honor. And things began to be a little bit different over time. You know, 2 days later, some people messaged me and said, hey, you know what, we're going to go picketing in front of his office. And so why don't you come join us? And I just said, sounds like fun. You know, why don't you guys go on ahead? I just prayed with him 2 days ago. I can't picket outside his office. God has moved some leaders out. God has brought godly people in. And we have to trust that God is in control. God is in control of this whole world, which means God is in control of this nation, which means God is in control of this city, which means God is in control of this school board. And if God chooses to move someone out, we need to trust his timing and his way to do it. You see, when we take matters into our own hands, oftentimes, man, that causes turmoil. God has the ability to move people out of the way in a way that will cause your life blessing if you'll just choose the route of honor. And so we're called to honor everyone. We're called to honor authorities. But lastly, this, I want you to consider the power of honor in your home. You know, we often talk about the wonderful plan that God has for your life, and it is true. But a very key part of that wonderful plan is that God wants your home to be a place of honor. He wants you to honor your family. We can spend so much of our effort, maybe it's with a career, and we're honoring coworkers and honoring our customers, and then we move into ministry, and we are honoring the people that we serve. And then we come home, and we're spent. We have nothing left to give our spouse. We have nothing left to give our kids. We don't have the energy to spend quality time with our family. We certainly don't have energy left over to honor our children. And as a result, children are learning dishonor. When we put on a good face in public, but that kindness and honor disappears at home, our family suffers. God does not call us to give our best at work and leave what's left over to our families. God calls us to honor, and God gives us a very specific sequence. We're supposed to honor God first. God gets our honor, and then we honor our family, and then we honor others. You know, one of God's most important instructions are for us to honor our parents. Honoring our families is all part of God's plan to bless us. And as the reason is, as we honor our families, we're building a solid foundation on which to build our lives and which we can honor every other relationship in our life, including our relationship with Christ. There's an unmistakable pattern that you will observe in the scriptures and real life. Those who fail to honor their parents never flourish in life. God gives a command to honor our parents in Exodus 20. And anytime you see a command in scripture, you can know it's important. But when God uses his own finger to write out that command, you know it's especially important. Exodus 20 verse 12 says, "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Now, why did God give this command? Well, from the very beginning, we see in the book of Genesis, it's a story of one child after another dishonoring their parents. Cain, he dishonored his parents by killing his brother Abel. Noah's son dishonored him by looking at his father's nakedness and then calling the other brothers. Lot's daughters get him drunk and then have sex with him. Jacob, he tricks his father. Rachel, she steals from her father. And so this is the backstory, generation after generation dishonoring their parents, and God as a loving father says, we're just going to speak to this, we're going to correct this and get you on the right path again. And so he says, honor your father and your mother, and that Hebrew word for honor is kabod. It means heavy. And so honor is not an easy task, it is a heavy responsibility. But honoring our parents gives us that foundation to truly honor God and others. I hope you get really fired up about the dreams and the vision that God has placed in your life, that you give everything to that. But just remember, the biggest part of that is that you would give honor to your family, that you would honor your family first before you honor others. No matter what opportunity, career goals you have, honor your family. The Apostle Paul, he picks up this theme in Ephesians 6:1. He says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you would enjoy long life on the earth." But notice there's a promise that is attached to the command. Paul doesn't stop there, though. At verse 4, he says, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and the instruction of the Lord." And so here's yet another opportunity to show honor within our families, that parents are to honor their children. Honor is really a two-way street. As fathers, we are not to provoke our children to anger, but we lovingly instruct them. We show them what it means to follow Christ. There's one last opportunity to show honor within the home, and that is between a husband and a wife. Ephesians 5:33, however, each of you also must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. If you want an ordinary, lousy marriage, here's what you do. Treat your spouse as common. Dishonor your spouse. Treat them as ordinary. Don't show kindness. Don't show consideration. Don't speak words of love and affirmation. Treat your spouse as common, ordinary, and you'll get an ordinary, broken marriage. But if you want a marriage that flourishes, if you want a marriage that stands out from all of the others, then treat your spouse with honor. Go ahead, unload that dishwasher, even though they may never notice. Go ahead, pick up coffee. Just shift your dirty laundry 2 feet over into that hamper. It makes such a difference. Honor your spouse, and then watch that spouse rise to the level at which you honor them. Romans 12:10 again says, honor one another above yourselves. Outdo one another in showing honor. To close, yesterday we took our kids swimming, and this was the first time that our daughter Krista, she attempted to jump off the high diving board. And so you can see these diving boards, and when you look at it from the pool deck, it looks like it's 10 feet up, but then when you get on that diving board, it's like times four. Like, am I jumping off like a high rise? So my daughter Krista, she walks up to the diving board, she's on it, and then she freezes. And so she's like, can I just like climb off the board? Can I walk back? And I'm seeing this play out. It's now a minute that she's on there and a line of kids are lining up behind her. They're probably 10, 15 deep. And I'm like, what's gonna happen? Are these kids gonna start booing my daughter? Are they gonna, come on, get out of the way, jeering her? And I just wanna show you actually what happened and try to listen to what happened. Yep, there were no jeers, only cheers for my daughter. And I think that's exactly what honor is. Honor has a way of building courage. Honor has a way of putting wind in your sails. Honor has a way of bringing out the best in each other. It brings a lifeless soul back to life. Honor has a way of building bridges where there's been a lack of trust, a lack of communication. Honor has a way of restoring order in this community, in our nation. Honor has a way of inviting the presence of God into this place. Every time the doors are open, we come with a spirit of honor to receive from Him. Honor will transform your home. It will transform your relationship with your kids, with your spouse. Let's just take a moment now and pray. Lord Jesus, I pray right now that you would do work in our hearts. God, I pray that you would uproot, Lord, every spirit of dishonor from us. God, would you just root that out of our lives? Maybe it's something we've never voiced out loud, but deep down in our hearts, Lord, you're speaking to us, you're convicting us. There are ways that we're looking at people and situations that are dishonorable. And so, Lord, we want your Holy Spirit to come within us, to fill every part of us, and to put in a heart, an attitude of honor. Lord, I pray for homes to be transformed as honor is shown. Lord, I pray for our authorities, Lord, people that you have placed over us, Lord, as we speak honor, as we show honor, God, that you would have your way. Your perfect will, your perfect plans be done in this nation. You're in control. Your perfect will be done in Milwaukee, in our schools. Lord, we trust you. We honor you, and we honor you in this place. Every time we come here, Lord, you are not the afterthought. You are the very reason we have come. We haven't come to learn about God. We've come to experience God. And so, Lord Jesus, our hearts are on you. Our eyes are on you. Come fill us up fresh again today. And we pray all these things now in Jesus' name. Amen.